Happy New Year to you all. Haven't seen you guys since last year. And you guys look great. You haven't changed a bit since last year. On the outside, anyway. I hope we're all changing on the inside. Thanks for coming tonight. Delighted to have you with us. A couple of announcements. Let's see, upcoming events. We have a wedding on the 19th of January. Ryan and Tara. Right there, look at sitting all by themselves, Ryan and Tara, Boaz and Ruth. We need you to sign up if you're going to attend their wedding so we know how much food to bring or to order. So there's a sign-up sheet in the back. And so love to have you join us. You'll be here in the sanctuary January 19th, 1 o'clock. Also, upcoming events, we're going to have the Sweethearts Banquet again this year, which is great. Always fun. We always have fun things to do. Bring your sweetheart. And March 23rd, we have what we call a hole-in-one golf classic, W-H-O-L-E-in-one, Jesus Christ. And it's not a golf tournament. We just call it a fellowship, okay, because it's certainly not a golf tournament. We have fun. And then we do something we're really good at. We eat. And we always have someone to share the gospel, okay? Golf is big here in the Valley, as you know. And so we try to bring in anybody and everybody we can through outreach ministries, whether it's a Sweethearts Banquet or a golf tournament, whatever we do. We do it to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. So that's March 23rd. Further information to follow. Also, we have a ministry here called His Helping Hands. Scripture tells us that pure and undefiled religion is helping the orphans and the widows or the single ladies in their needs. And this ministry helps the widows and the single ladies in this fellowship that we love so much and that we take care of. And part of the way that we take care of the ladies in this fellowship is to do things like replace filters for your air conditioning or heaters, batteries, smoke alarms. We also provide oil change service absolutely free. And so we have a sign-up sheet back there with the HHH is on that box, His Helping Hands. And so all our services are free. And so whatever the needs might be, write them down. We'll have Bill French or someone that's part of His Helping Hands call you in advance, let you know when they're coming. And we want to just help you out, okay? What else do we have? A couple of things, last but certainly not least. Brother Stan Fortner, went home to be with the Lord. New Year's Eve, he didn't even get to stick around and see the fiscal cliff, and he's in heaven with the Lord. But isn't it amazing how the Lord takes somebody home and then brings someone else in? On Christmas Day, we had our newest member of Calvary Chapel, Palm Desert, Genesis Garcia, a little daughter of Rudy and Jennifer Garcia. And she went home yesterday. She had a slight infection. They kept her in the NICU over at Desert Hospital, and now she came home yesterday. So we're really looking forward to meeting her and doing, of course, a baby dedication. And so that'll be exciting. So the Lord took Stan home and brought Genesis in. And so tears on one end and then great joy on the other. But actually, with Stanley going home to be with the Lord, there's great joy there because he went through chemotherapy for 13 years. Yeah, he had just about every type of cancer that you could possibly have, and he was a fighter. And finally, his expiration date came up. Like, we all have an expiration date. You know that, don't you? So walk with Jesus Christ. Love him. Serve him. When we're ready, he'll call us home. If you need a Bible, slip your hand up this evening. Everybody got a Bible? Okay, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 8 tonight. We've been going through the Proverbs chapter by chapter, verse by verse. If you're planning on attending Sunday, we have the beginning of Revelation chapter 2, the beginning of the seven churches. And so that's a very exciting section of Scripture. I know I say that about all of them. But Revelation 2 and 3 are really heavy-duty chapters. I'm looking forward to getting into that. Tonight, let's look at Proverbs chapter 8. Best way to find Proverbs, fold your Bible in half. You should come to Psalms. First book to the right is Proverbs chapter 8 tonight. The cry of wisdom. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word tonight. We do thank you for your many blessings upon our lives. We thank you for blessing us with Stan. the many days, even extra days that you gave him here on earth. We thank you, Lord, that he's rejoicing with you in heaven. We're going to miss him, but the good news is that we're going to see him again. That glorious day when you call us home and we gather together for the wedding supper of the Lamb. That glorious day when we shall see you face to face, when you call our name. Thank you, Lord, that you know us by name. And Lord, we just pray for Diane, that you would comfort her, as it's so hard, that when the two become one flesh, that when one is called home, the other just feels so empty and so isolated, and there's such grief and pain and mourning that goes on. And we just pray that you would be the God of all comfort with Diane. We also pray for the Garcia family. Thank you, Lord, for bringing Genesis into their lives. What a blessing. Children are a gift from God, and we thank you for bringing that precious gift, Genesis, into this world. Make her strong and healthy. May she always walk with you. Bring great joy to mom and dad, as well as the family, and as well as this fellowship, as you do with every child that is brought into this place. So thank you, God, for tonight. Thank you for your word. We pray for wisdom and knowledge and insight. And you're not one to limit any wisdom or knowledge that we would ask for, Lord. You love to just pour it out upon us abundantly. And so tonight I pray that you would give us that wisdom and that insight that comes from your precious word, which is truth. We need more truth in this world that is so filled with half-truths and lies. And so tonight, speak to us clearly, Lord. May we hear this cry of wisdom tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. What a sharp contrast we find between chapters 7 and 8. If you were here last week, it was some pretty heavy-duty stuff. I'm thinking maybe I emptied the place last week, speaking about fornication and sexual immorality and all. It's like, wow. Now, I'm sure a lot of people are just resting after spending New Year's with their friends and relatives and loved ones. But what a contrast we find. Back in chapter 7, we had the section, actually chapters 5, 6, and 7, we saw the seductress calling out to the sons of men. Whereas here in chapter 8 tonight, it's wisdom that cries out for the sons of men. I look back, and as you know, hindsight's always 20/20. We look back, many of us that didn't come to know the Lord until we were in our 20s, 30s, some 40s, 50s. We wish that we would have had the word of the Lord hidden in our hearts as we do today. I was not raised in a godly family. I was not raised in a Christian home. You know, I bought into the same old lifestyle and standards and all that the world portrays and exploits, of course. I wish someone would have taken me to church. And again, you can't change the past. But you know, if we can take the Word of God and impart it to our children and our grandchildren and great-grandchildren, we can save them a lot of heartache. I wish I would have known the truth about a lot of things. The Bible gives us the truth about things that are physical, spiritual, emotional, financial. It's all right here before us. I wish I would have known that I could be the temple of the Holy Spirit. I wish I would have known that I wasn't to pollute my body with everything from LSD to cocaine to booze to you name it, you fill in the blanks, and do everything and anything with this body which was created in the image of God. I wish I would have known that. Spiritually as well. I wish I would have known God and known the things of the Word. Everything is in this book. Especially young people, listen up to the things of God. You can save yourself a lot of heartache. Yes, the Bible does say that there is pleasure in sin, but only for a season, and then comes judgment. We reap what we sow. There are a lot of people today as well that have emotional problems because of abusing their body and because of not walking with God and because of making wrong choices. And yes, God has forgiven me and forgiven me all of my past, but I still have some of the memories. It's almost like our physical bodies, when we cut ourselves, many of us have physical scars. Yes, they've healed, but there's still that scar as a reminder. And sin does the same thing, doesn't it? There's this reminder, these flashbacks, and I wish I could get them out of my mind. But when the devil reminds me of my past, I just remind him of his future. Because I'm forgiven and I know that. But yet there are these reminders that oftentimes can haunt us. Driving along here, an oldie but goodie. It's an oldie, but it certainly wasn't goodie anymore, you know, when I came to know Christ. And so tonight I would hope that we would all, both young and old, listen up to the wisdom, to the cry of wisdom that God gives us tonight. As I mentioned, the seductress was calling out to the sons of men in our last section. Now wisdom cries out to the sons of men tonight. And I think it's important to realize there are two cries out there. The world is crying to us to follow the things of the world, do this and do that. Where God is crying out through the Holy Spirit, His voice is crying and wisdom is trying to pull us in the other direction. And whichever one you feed, whether it's the flesh or whether it's the spirit, that's the one that's going to dominate. That's the one that you're going to follow. It's important to know that. Even dealing with our relatives, over the holidays we got together, right, with our in-laws and outlaws and all. And, you know, we get together with unbelieving relatives. And even this one person was telling my grandkids, well, when you get to a certain age, you can watch movies with bad language, adult language. Is that true? Is that adult language? Does an adult really talk like that? No. An adult chooses their words carefully and talks with purity, with intelligence. Instead of every other word being an expletive. Adult movies. Is it really adult movies? You've got to be a certain age so that you can sin to a greater extent. And how sad it is. Adult behavior. You know, is that not a lie? I think truly being an adult is when you can live and act and conduct yourselves in a godly manner and be a good example to our kids. That's what it means to be an adult. And a lot of adults I know haven't grown up yet. Look at Jagger. He's on the tour again. Mick Jagger, Rolling Stones, still singing as a viejo. I can't get no satisfaction. He's never going to get satisfaction without Jesus Christ. Are you kidding me? Honestly. That guy's strung out, man, and bummed out. Can't get no satisfaction. People are paying all kinds of money to see that old man running up and down the stage. I can't understand it. Tonight, Solomon, a man of great wisdom, says, look at this. Does not wisdom cry out? Isn't it amazing? Wisdom does cry out. In understanding, lift up her voice. She takes her stand on the top of the high hill, beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. Notice wisdom and understanding are everywhere for the taking. To you, O man, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. And this also includes the daughters. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Last week, we saw the house of the adulteress was down a back street, in contrast to tonight, where wisdom takes her stand on a high hill. There's some interesting contrasts in our text tonight. Last week, the harlot prowls the dark streets where wisdom is found at the gates of the city. The gates are wide open publicly. There's wisdom there. Last week, the seductress closes the door on her victim. Wisdom and understanding cries out at the entrance of the city and at the entrance of the doors, and the gates are wide open. But you see, we have a free will. We have a free will that God has given you and I to make proper choices. And the best way to know how to make proper choices in life, number one, give your life to Jesus Christ. Make Him your personal Lord and Savior. And secondly, read His book. And thirdly, get into church, a church that teaches the Word. And fourthly, serve God. Get involved serving God. And you know what happens when you serve God? You find yourself side by side, shoulder to shoulder, with other people that love Jesus Christ, other people that love His Word, and other people that want to serve God. And it's amazing what will happen then. But when you isolate yourself from God and from His Word and all, you make wrong choices. Idle time, you've heard before, idle time is a tool of the devil. You have to be very careful that you use your time that God has given you, number one, to glorify Him and use it wisely. The fact that wisdom is and can be found anywhere is significant. Not meaning that any book or any church or any place. What it means is that the voice of the Lord through the power of the Holy Spirit cries out for us to listen to the wisdom of God. This is so important. It's never difficult to find wisdom if you have an ear to hear, if you have eyes to see the things of the Lord, and if you have a heart to receive His Word. We're going to talk about this a whole lot for the next couple of weeks on Sunday morning. God is going to shake and sift this fellowship through chapters 2 and 3 of the revelation of Jesus Christ. We are going to get a personal evaluation of our walk with Christ. I guarantee you, I've already started. I'm getting it big time this week. And also, God's going to sift and evaluate this fellowship as a body of believers. And I think it's a good thing. Every once in a while, we need to just step back and evaluate where we are in Jesus Christ. But to every one of the 7 churches, Jesus says the same thing. He who has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And so we see here in verse 1, wisdom crying out. Does not wisdom cry out? In understanding, lift up her voice. Of course, this is what they call a hypothetical question. It's assumed automatically that the answer is yes. Yes, wisdom is crying out. Even tonight, as we read God's Word, we can sense that wisdom is crying out to us. And that's a wonderful thing, that God loves us enough that His wisdom would cry out to us, and that His voice would be louder than the voice of the world out there. Verse 2 and 3 tells us where she may be found. Sometimes people say, well, where do I find wisdom? Well, he tells us in verses 2 and 3. She takes her stand on the top of the highest hill, the high hill, beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gate, to the entrance of the city, and the entrance of the doors. And so everywhere and anywhere that Solomon would go, he said, wisdom would cry out to him. And it does for us as well. As a matter of fact, Deuteronomy chapter 6 was an admonition for the Jewish people to train up their children in the ways of God. When they rise up, when they lie down at night, when they walk by the ways, that's up to us as parents to train up our children in the ways of the Lord. Everything we do should be part of the Lord. We don't just have our social life and our business life and our church life. Jesus Christ should permeate everything that we do. He's got to be a part of all that we do. And He is. And you know what? It is a blast having Jesus Christ part of everything I do. Even yesterday, you know, Tina and I had the day off, so we got another couple and went and played golf. She just wants to learn how to play golf. First thing we did on the first tee, we all joined hands and we prayed. Lord, You be the guest of honor here. Everything we do, we don't just pray for dinner in our family. We pray for every get in the car. Lord, direct our path, guide us on the road, because there's crazies out there. And there's even going to be more crazies because we're legalizing pot now. So there's going to be a whole bunch of real crazies on the road along with the existing crazies, you know. And so we need to pray about everything. You need to pray about business deals. You need to pray about investments and your finances, everything. You need to lift everything before the Lord. That's why it's so important to be in an attitude of prayer constantly. Do you constantly talk with God in your heart? You always have that fellowship with Him, talking with Him? That's an important part of our relationship with Him. And so Solomon tells us wisdom is ready and available everywhere in all of our travels, high and low and beside the way and where the paths meet and out in the country, out in the city. Who is this call to? It's a call to all. God calls everyone by His Spirit. Even that one relative, you think, man, they'll never get saved. And do you know that God is calling them as well through His Spirit? Prayed for my brother for 27 years. He was my best partying buddy. And the day I got saved, he looked at me and said, man, I lost my best friend today. He went his way, I went my way. Prayed for him for 27 years, and guess what? The Holy Spirit called him and called him and called him. And one day, he said, I finally accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Even that worst relative, even your biggest enemy, do you know that God, through the Holy Spirit, is trying to draw them and call them as well? Wisdom is calling. God bids everybody to come. But it's up to us to exercise that free will and to submit to the will of the Lord. Because He's given us not only a free will, but He gave us a free won't as well. And it's up to us whether we will or whether we won't. But the call is to all. All who will stop and look and listen to the voice of the Lord. Wisdom is not a respecter of persons. It's wonderful to know that. God wants to give us wisdom to make right decisions, right choices, so that our lives can be blessed. How many of us can look back again in the rearview mirror and see where we made wrong choices by using foolishness as a guide, folly as a guide, rather than wisdom, and think, man, I had a lot of heartache back there. I had a lot of pain and a lot of self-inflicted trouble because I didn't do it God's way. So the call is to y'all. He says, to you, O men, to the sons of men, to you, the simple ones, and he even calls the fools. Evidence of that right up here tonight, that God calls fools. And anybody that will answer, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And again, you know what happens, and this is so cool, that he takes even a fool, and the term here for a simple one means to be a fool, to be stupid. But you know what happens? God can take the most foolish and stupid person on the planet, and when you give some of God's wisdom, when you pour some of God's wisdom into that person's heart and mind, guess what? Even the most stupid person on the planet, when they have the wisdom of God, is smarter than the most educated person on the planet without Jesus Christ. Because there's a tremendous difference between wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom is more than just knowing something. Knowledge is to know something, but wisdom is to put it into practice. When we gain the knowledge of God's Word and the wisdom of God's Word and put it into practice, it takes the most simple and the most foolish people on the planet and it makes us wise. Praise the Lord. But notice the one single word here, the word listen, is the key to this whole section. Verse 6, listen, for I will speak of excellent things. It's up to us whether we want to listen or not. We can either tune in to God or we can tune God out. It's up to us. To listen to wisdom can make a wise man out of a fool. In contrast, a very smart man can quickly become a fool by not listening to the wisdom of God. Very simply there. And so that's why he says in verse 6, listen, for I will speak of excellent things. And from the opening of my lips will come right things. Notice God speaks of excellent things. The term means honorable things. Things which are honorable. The opposite would be thinking of things that are just disgraceful. And look what's going on today. I mean, some of the things that I'm hearing and seeing are disgraceful. I forget who I was talking to. Sue and I were talking in the office today. A program called Off Your Rocker by Betty White, who used to be a decent actress in the day, and it's like, it's nothing but vile and filthy stuff against our senior citizens. I'm thinking, that's not honorable. That's a disgrace. And we have people that turn on the tube and they watch these programs, and there's a little bit of humor and there's a little bit funny, but most of it is just perverted, disgraceful stuff, and people are filling their minds with disgraceful things. How much of what we listen to in our daily lives can truly be considered excellent? Only you would know that. Only you know where you've been today, what you've been listening to, what's been going into your ear canal and into your heart. How much of what, I wonder all of us, if God would show us on a little scale, if we had this little thermometer that we could look at, and he would show us how much of what we listened to today was excellent, I wonder how many would even have any excellent things that you've listened to today. How much of what we listen to in our daily lives can truly be considered excellent? Or the second thing, he says, right things. The term right means straightforward, that which is straight, upright. Again, how much of what we listen to today was a right thing or a straight thing or an upright thing? Third thing he mentions in verse 7 is truth. How much truth have we heard today? That means that which is a fact. That which is correct in the eyes of God. And again, the best way to find, you know, that which is excellent and that which is right and that which is true is to spend time in God's Word. To spend time in the morning, in the afternoon, in your lunch break, in the evening, whatever it might be. Spend time with God. And what percentage of what goes into our heart and our mind is excellent and right and truth? And I'm just as guilty as anybody else. There's some days when I get a whole lot more garbage going in than I have good things going in. And, you know, as far as the world is concerned, they might not even consider it a real bad thing. But yet, when it's competing with the right things and the truth and the excellent things of God, it's not healthy and wholesome. Verse 7. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Wow. Verse 8. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. How many of us, I wonder, in this room can say that? How many of us can say that all the words of my mouth are righteous? I'm guilty. Little innuendos, potty talk. And it's not just profanity. It can be gossip. It can be putting somebody down. It can be, you know, making fun of somebody. But he says, all the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. Wow. And again, we need this filtration system. Because once God comes in and through the power of his Holy Spirit, he begins to change our heart, it changes our lips as well. Because Jesus himself said, it's not what we eat. It's not what goes into our mouth that defiles us. You can eat pork and carnitas and bacon and all this stuff that's against the Jewish law. But you know what? That's not going to change what comes out of your heart through your lips. Because you can eat all of those things that maybe are unhealthy for you, but you can still have healthy verbiage by what you put into your heart and into your mind spiritually with right things, with excellent things, with truthful things. And oftentimes people say, gee, I don't know where that word came from. And I often say, well, I do. It come right out of your heart. Because that's what Jesus said. Garbage in is garbage out. So what we're seeing and hearing is a description of wisdom's nature and character. Excellent things, right things, truthful things from the lips of wisdom. Never come crooked things. If something crooked or perverse is coming out of your mouth, that's not wisdom. That's not God's wisdom. He says here two things, crooked things and perverse things. Well, what's the difference? Well, I'm glad you asked. Crooked things means those things that are twisted, twisted things, unsavory things, tortuous things is the term, or froward. That's what crooked things are. And he says, crooked things are never to come out of our mouth. Secondly, perverse things. That means those things which deviate from what is considered pure and right and wholesome. And so it's very, very important, again. And I know that there's a lot of slang out there, a lot of terminology that, you know, that's popular today. But it's not popular with God. And I would much rather be popular with God by speaking forth wholesome and fruitful things than going along with what everybody else is doing. You know, if someone knows nothing but four-letter words and expletives, it just shows how stupid they are, that they really don't have much of a vocabulary. And I think when you begin to read the Bible, it changes your way of thinking, it changes your heart, it changes your mind, and it also changes your vocabulary, incredibly enough. That doesn't mean we walk around speaking in old King James. But what it does mean is that our vocabulary has improved to the extent that people will listen to what you have to say because they know that you're speaking forth wisdom, that you're speaking forth wholesome things, that you're speaking forth excellent things and right things. Pastor Raul Rees, the pastor over in, it was Calvary Chapel, West Covina, where I got saved. When he first got saved, he couldn't even read. And now he's got his degree. He's Dr. Raul Rees now. Not the one here in the desert that just ran against Mary Bono. But he is a doctor in theology. And the first book that he ever read, guess what it was? It was the Holy Bible. And the amazing thing today is you listen to him on the radio or whatever, and the guy speaks forth wholesome things. He speaks forth excellent things and right things because his mind has been transformed and he's been reading the Word of God. And people want to listen to him. That's how I got saved. I didn't know who he was. I turned on the radio, man, and I was a mess, and Tina filed for divorce, and I had my daily hangover and the whole thing. I turned on the radio, and I didn't want to listen to rock and roll or country western or nothing. All of a sudden, this guy comes on the radio, and I thought, man, this sounds like Cheech and Chong, you know? But he was talking about the Bible, and he was talking about marriage. And I began to listen. I'm thinking, here's a guy that speaks my language, and he's making sense. And yeah, he was using terms like cool and man and far out, 60s language. But he was also talking about the things of God. And the things he was talking about were the things that I needed to hear. How important it was for me to love my wife as Christ loved the church. And how important it was that I was born again. I thought, born again, what is that? And I found out later, born again is what happened to my wife 2 years prior. And she was praying for me. And I got born again after listening to the radio and going to church, all this stuff. It's amazing how God works. But the point being is God wants to change us from the inside out. It's an inside job. And he wants us to put away these crooked things and filthy language and perverse things from our minds and from our hearts. And it saddens me. You can just be sitting having dinner with your family in a restaurant, and it's, man, people just don't care what they say because it's all about them and it's all about freedom of speech, right? Well, let's see what wisdom is. Put your ribbon in here in this particular chapter and turn right to the book of James. Way towards the back, just before Peter. Between Hebrews and Peter, you'll find this powerful epistle, the Epistle of James, chapter 3. Just in case you're wondering, there's two types of wisdom. Did you know that? James addresses both of them here. Do you know there's heavenly wisdom and there's demonic wisdom? Yeah? Check this out. James 3, 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking, meaning if you have bitterness in your heart towards someone else, I forget who it was, Warren Wiersbe or somebody said, bitterness is you drinking poison waiting for that other person to die. That's what bitterness is. He says, if you have bitter envy, self-seeking, mean if you're just a selfish person, it's all about you, me, 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 I. If you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Do you see where both those things are? Bitterness is in your heart. Selfishness, self-centeredness is in your heart. Do not boast and lie against the truth. Look how James lays it out here pretty clear. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and what? Demonic. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? It's earthly, meaning worldly, meaning it's not heavenly, it's not from God. It's sensual, meaning that you're walking according to your lust, your cravings, your senses, all about how you feel and how you gratify your own flesh. It has certainly nothing to do with the Spirit of God. It's earthly, it's sensual, and what? Demonic. That's pretty heavy, would you say? For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Would you think we're there? Look at the world that we live in today. It's all about being sensual. It's all about bitterness and envy. And it's all about the sensual things and the self-centered, self-seeking things. That's why we're such a mess today. Scripture never tells us to build ourselves up. There's nowhere in Scripture that tells us that we are to have self-esteem even. Do you know that? I hear it, even a lot of Christian circles, self-esteem. If you read your Bible, the Bible very clearly says that we are to esteem others better than ourselves. How heavy is that? Self-centeredness is just selfish. And I think it's important to realize that, that self-esteem is not a biblical principle. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But what I love about the Word of God is that He always gives us the antidote. Don't you love it? Verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. And that's a good rule of thumb. If it's wisdom, if it's from above, if it's from God, it's pure. There's nothing perverted about it, like we saw back in Proverbs chapter 8. It's pure. Secondly, it's peaceable. Oftentimes when people ask me, Pastor Joe, you know, what should I do in this situation or that situation? You know, I'm praying about it and I just really don't know what the Lord would have me to do here. You know what I say? One of the first things that you look for is a peace about it. Is there an uneasiness or is maybe there's just something in the pit of your stomach that feels as though that's not what God would have you to do? If there's peace, then you know it's from God. If it's pure, if it's peaceable, that's the wisdom from above. How about gentle? Wisdom from above is always gentle. Willing to yield. You know what that means? You and I, guys, can use a lot of wisdom in our marriages by yielding to our wives more often. Quit being the big shot and the big guy and ruling with a rod of iron. Well, doesn't the Bible say that she's supposed to submit to me? Absolutely, but back up a verse. It says submitting to one another in the Lord. I mean, we both need to submit one to another. To yield. Don't we live in a world today where everybody just wants to have their own way? Nobody wants to give in. People think of giving in is a sign of weakness by yielding, by having to yield. But you know what I find? The person that usually wins is the person that loses first. What do you mean? The person that submits to God and to whatever the situation is first. But I was right. Yeah, but sometimes you can be so right, you're wrong. I think sometimes we need to be flexible and yield. And again, Scripture tells us guys, us husbands, to dwell with our wives with understanding. You know what that means? That means that we're not always going to understand them. And when we don't understand them, why don't you ask, honey? I don't understand. And guess what? She'll just politely and lovingly tell you. Seriously. So that you will understand. That's important in a relationship, isn't it? It's not about who's going to win the battle. Man, I just, you know, it's not that I'm a wimp. It's just that it took me 63 years to finally smarten up and realize that I need to give in more to my wife. And what, you know what? It is so, and this isn't just a recent revelation. It went back 30 plus years ago and we got saved. But it's a continual process. But you know what I find? That she treats me better and loves me more and is more submissive to me in all things when I'm willing to just be that godly man that's willing to yield. And it takes wisdom. Full of mercy. And that's godly wisdom. That's wisdom from above. It's full of mercy. It doesn't condemn. It doesn't damn. It's full of mercy. Is there a person in this room that has had enough mercy yet? That it's okay, Lord, I don't need any more. I don't think so. We need mercy, don't we? We need an abundance of mercy. And that's that wisdom that comes from above. And good fruits. What are the fruit of the Spirit? Well, we know it. Peace, love, joy, kindness, gentleness, meekness, self-control. And that's what wisdom is from above. And again, don't you wish you would have known it back when, maybe some of you did as a youngster. I know one young man that, you know, was raised in a Christian home. A couple of young men and young women raised in Christian homes that, you know, that had all of this. It didn't have to learn the hard way. Good fruits, fruits of the Spirit. And this wisdom as well is without partiality, meaning that God's no respecter of person like we are, unfortunately. But God will give this wisdom to anyone who desires it. And he ends with this, and without hypocrisy. You see, the wisdom that's from above is not hypocritical. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So what an interesting contrast we see here, don't we, with the difference between heavenly wisdom and demonic wisdom. And this is a good rule of thumb. And if you need another good rule of thumb, I've got yet another one for you. Turn left to Philippians, and this is a quick one from Paul. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. I think it's important for all of us to seek after wisdom like never before. Philippians 4:8. If you're new to your Bible, it's General Electric Power Company. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And so the third book is Philippians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. This is what Paul says. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble. By the way, how do you find out things that are true? Right here in God's Word. Jesus said, my Word is truth. Whatever things are true. Whatever things are noble. Whatever things are just. Whatever things are pure. Whatever things are lovely. Whatever things are of good report. If there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And again, that's what wisdom is. Wisdom is true, it's noble, it's just, it's pure, it's lovely, it's of good report, it's virtuous, it's praiseworthy. Meditate on these things. And again, what are we thinking about in our minds continually? It's whatever we're thinking about in our minds that we will become. And I finally wrote it down, Ryan, in my Bible the other day. This little ditty that I learned years ago, and I've written it just about all of my Bible. I didn't have it in this one, so I wrote it in this one. It has to do with our thinking. Sow a thought, and you reap an action. Sow an action, and you reap a habit. Sow a habit, and you reap a character. Sow a character, and you reap a destiny. You see how that happens? It all starts in your mind. And when you meditate on trashy things, perverted things, guess what? You are going to reap that as a destiny. But if you begin to sow, as I mentioned a moment ago, good things and pure things and holy and just things. It was Charles Spurgeon talking about his thinking. And every once in a while we all get these thoughts, right? You ever get bad thoughts in your mind? I get them in church. It's like the enemy, wherever you are, the enemy is going to try to put perverted things in your mind. But I love Charles Spurgeon. He says, you can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from making a nest in your hair. Meaning that when the thoughts come in, just shoo those puppies out of there. Don't let them roost. Don't let them build a nest. Meditate on those things that I just mentioned a moment ago from chapter 4, verse 8. That which is true and noble and just and pure and lovely. And you know what's going to happen? Your whole heart's going to change. Your mind is going to change. You're going to have joy. You're going to have peace. You're going to be all stressed out and bound up. When my mind is in the wrong place, man, I'm stressed out and bound up. And what's wrong, man? You know, it's like all of a sudden the Lord says, you need to get back meditating on my word and washing of the word, renewing your mind, clean out your heart. He goes on to say, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. And it's amazing how that happens. We have good things going in, wholesome things going in, pure things going in. It's amazing what happens. All of a sudden we have peace in our hearts and in our minds. We're not all bound up and uptight. We have peace. Why? Because our thought life and everything is pure with God. And it's pure with everybody else around us. And that's so important. Back to, I better get going here. Huh? I've only got 2 hours left in Proverbs 8. So let's get back to Proverbs chapter 8. Now, James and Paul had a lot to say about it, didn't they? Verse 10. Receive my instruction. And not silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. I wonder how many of us in this room, if somebody offered us knowledge, wisdom, or, on the other hand, silver and gold, wonder which one would take. Well, you know, Pastor Joe, it's a recession going on here. We got the fiscal cliff and all this other stuff going on. But Solomon says, receive my instruction and not silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. Do you believe that? Is Solomon kind of off his rocker tonight? Do you really believe that's true, folks? That knowledge and wisdom are better than silver and gold and rubies? Now, keep in mind, the writer of this book is at that particular time, and I believe even today, the wealthiest man to ever walk this planet. I'm speaking materially. We're not talking Jesus. Did you know that Solomon says that wisdom is beyond compare? That's what he says in the original language there. If you have wisdom, it's beyond compare of all the gold in Fort Knox, all the silver that you can find, all the rubies. I'm talking about what he's saying here is it's beyond compare of anything we may desire, not just have, but desire. That's what he's talking about here. And do we really think it would be any different for us if we were in Solomon's sandals back then? Silver and gold and rubies, even by the truckload, are only things. Only things. And you know what? Things can and will dominate your life if you will allow them to. You know, sometimes people get the impression, if I just had gold and silver and rubies, I'd be content. I'd be happy. Well, ironically, you know me, I like contrasts. The poor man may spend his life worrying about the things that he doesn't have, while the rich man sits in his mansion all the while worrying about the things that he does have. It's amazing. When you attain gold and silver and rubies and wealth, then you got to hire people and you wonder if they're honest to watch your stuff. You got all this stuff. Now you can have stuff to watch, people to watch your stuff, and then you got to have people to watch the people who watch your stuff. And you're tossing and turning all night long and you're actually more miserable than you were in the first place. John Phillips says this, the world of thought is far more important than the world of things. Things are deceptive. They hold our thoughts. They hold them down so that we become occupied with the material, physical, and temporal, and transient. Isn't that true? Jesus says this, one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. Luke 12:15, red letters. Wisdom says to lay up treasure in heaven. Wisdom says to be rich in the things of God. Luke 12:21. But sometimes we get our priorities out of whack. It's amazing how that can happen. And I believe with all of my heart, if you will trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding, lean on the wisdom of God and acknowledge Him in all your ways, He will direct your path or He will make your path straight. An amazing thing happens when you get this right. This takes care of itself. And God could make you the richest man on the planet today if He chooses to do so. Or the poorest man on the planet, if he chooses to do so. It's up to God. And God is the one who knows what you and I can handle. And I thank God for the difficult times in our marriage over the years, meaning the difficult financial times. Those times when there was nothing in the cupboard, I kid you not, this is not just some story I made up. In ministry in Vermont, Tina and I both had to work two jobs apiece for 12 years because the church wasn't big enough or wealthy enough to take care of our needs. We had no health insurance. And guess what? There was a time when we opened up the cupboard. There was nothing but flour there and water, nothing else in the refrigerator. We got two kids. And so guess what Tina did? She began to start to make bread. And I went out to the mailbox. And I opened up the mailbox, and there was a check for $1,000 in the mailbox. With a little note from someone that says, I don't know why, but God wanted me to send this to you. Praise the Lord. God bless you. We love you. And it's amazing how for 12 years in that desolate place, how God took care of all of our needs according to His riches and glory. And what that did, that difficult time was some of the best time that we ever had because we could clearly see the hand of God. And now Tina's dad passes away and he leaves property and stuff to split up with all the kids. And this has been the biggest pain in the neck we've had in 37 years of marriage. That's just what I talked about a moment ago. Stuff. Stuff. Move right along here. One thing about stuff. Stuff can be lost or stolen, can it? But wisdom, the wisdom and the word of the Lord endures forever. No one can steal it from you because it's within your heart. It's within your mind. It's part of you. It permeates your very soul, the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance in the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Whoa. Heavy stuff. So true. Verse 12 tells us that wisdom goes hand in hand with prudence. What does that mean? Sound judgment. Meaning that if you have wisdom, it goes hand in hand with sound judgment. That means making right choices. Using sound judgment in your everyday matters of life. And it goes on to say that knowledge and discretion come with it. That means to be able to make those right decisions. And I'm thinking, putting the message together this week and going, you know, as a parent, as a grandparent, my greatest desire is more than just wealth and prosperity for my kids. If I had the choice, I would much rather them have wisdom and sound judgment and knowledge and discretion rather than all of the gold and silver and rubies this world could offer. Look how many wealthy people we know. All of us know some wealthy family somewhere without God whose kids are an absolute mess. And I know parents with wayward children that wish that they didn't get the wealth that they have. It's absolutely destroyed their lives. But the one thing, my one heart cry before God is that my daughter and my son would have wisdom and sound judgment and knowledge and discretion in their lives. So far, so good. We got the next generation, my grandkids, Joshua, Jacob, Kaylee. God give them wisdom and sound judgment and knowledge and discretion. That's my heart's desire. And if health and wealth and prosperity is going to draw them away from you, God, keep them on their knees. That's why I have such a hard time with health and wealth and prosperity doctrine out there. It's bogus. It's baloney. Wisdom is also having reverence for God, it tells us in verse 13. And that's what it means to fear. It means to fear the Lord, to reverence the Lord is to hate evil. And if we truly love God, we're going to hate those things that God hates. And He makes it very clear, doesn't He? Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Some people think, oh, God hates something? Absolutely. Lays it out right there very clearly, doesn't it? You know, pride is a sin of Satan. It's one of the worst, if not the worst, of all the sins. Pride. God hates it. Arrogance. The evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. And so the next time you're out in public, man, you see all this stuff going down. Pray for those people, man. Why? Because the world tells you need to be proud, dude. And it's like you need to have this arrogant strut and walk, and you got to be cool. You know, and the perverse mouth, it's cool to use, you know, profanity, expletives. And they actually think they're cool out there, don't they? But my Bible tells me God hates it. God hates it. Verse 14. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Amazing, isn't it? Look what God gives us if we will only seek after it. People today are spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on secular counselors. And guess what? They have neglected the wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And I'm not 100% anti-counseling, but I'll tell you what, I have had people sit in my office and I've had to untie a lot of knots that they've paid thousands of dollars to get tied up and bound up in. And I say, you know what? I'm not a professional counselor, but I'll lead you to the wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and I'll do what I can to give you the Word of God. And if you'll obey the Word of God, He'll untie those knots in your life. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, wisdom. Kings reign and rulers decree justice. Oh, how we need kings and rulers like that today with the wisdom of God. By me princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, speaking of wisdom, and those who seek me diligently will find me. And again, God is just making it so available for anyone. Anyone, those who seek me diligently will find me. And it has to be diligent. You know, it's like mining for gold. You got to go out, you got to dig. You got to labor over the Word of God. You got to spend time with God. And sometimes when you're reading and it seems dry and you're just about ready to give up, and Lord, please speak to me, all of a sudden you'll get that nugget. You'll get that wonderful, you know, revelation from God. And you go, wow, it was worth it, Lord. I'm glad I hung on and spent that extra 5 minutes or so in your Word in the morning. Riches and honor are with me, wisdom. Enduring riches and righteousness. And again, look at the contrast between what the world considers rich or who the world considers rich. You know, anybody in the world today that has any sort of morality or couth or godly wisdom is made a spectacle of. Have you noticed? Tim Tebow, that poor guy. He's the guy that every dad would love to marry his daughter. And look what they're doing to that poor kid, because he loves God. And it's the same with anybody else, man or woman in this world that loves God and the things of God. They try to make a mockery out of them. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth. And again, he's not just talking material things here. I tell you what, if you have the wisdom of God, and have you ever met those senior saints that, man, when you sit down with them, they're just so filled with the wealth and the knowledge of God's Word and the wisdom of God's Word. You just want to hang out with them and glean from them, you know, what they've learned from the Lord over the years. That I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. And that's what God wants to do. But we have our priorities out of order. We're looking at material riches rather than spiritual riches. And God wants to fill our treasuries. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of His way, speaking of wisdom, before His works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. Meaning that wisdom was with God even before the creations of the heavens and the earth. And again, you know, the world will try to disprove that God in His wisdom created the heavens and the earth. All you got to do is read the very first verse of the Bible. And what does it say? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But again, we have what are supposedly the most brilliant men on the planet that think we evolved from some oozing junk somewhere or from some big bang. Anybody been in the military here? You ever see anything created from an explosion? Big bang? No, everything that went big and bang in Vietnam did not create anything. It destroyed. And how stupid is the Big Bang theory? But we have these supposed brilliant men and women that think, you know, we came from explosion or monkey's uncle or, you know, have another banana, dude. I'm created in the image of God. I have established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. God made some. The term created, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, is bara in Hebrew in verse 1. It means that God took something that did not exist and He made something out of it. You know, the same thing happens when God makes you and I into the new creation. He took something that did not exist in our lives and He gives us a new birth and He makes something out of something that never existed in our lives. He fills us with His love. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. Don't you love it when you go out in the morning and look at the snow on the mountains and you see these great big mountains around us? And Tina and I are always talking about God stuff. And we look at these great big mountains and we go, you know what? God knows how much that mountain weighs. He knows how much it weighs. Isn't that incredible? And all God did was speak it into existence. Let there be a mountain, if you would, you know? and the valleys and all. And you know, we see this beautiful landscape that God spoke into existence. And this is after the flood. This was after a cataclysmic experience. What was it like before the flood? I don't know. But I know this, that God is going to make a new heaven, a new earth, and I can't wait to see what it looks like. And it's going to put this place to shame. This is like a landfill compared to what God has waiting for those of us who love Him. And for someone to think that this wasn't created by God, I think, man, I just love the fact that I serve a God that is so filled with wisdom. Every day throughout eternity is going to be a brand new experience. Incredible. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth, wisdom speaking. While as yet He had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world, when He prepared the heavens, I was there, wisdom. When He drew a circle on the face of the deep. Do you know how Christopher Columbus found out that the world was round and not flat? He read the book of Isaiah. He found out the world was round from what the Bible said. Can you believe that? Yeah. When He drew a circle on the face of the deep, when He established the clouds above, when He strengthened the fountains of the deep. And again, look at God's irrigation system. You know, the water goes up, clouds over the land, waters it. And up and down and over, and God's got this wonderful irrigation system. And the ocean never goes dry. And how does God get the water to come up out of the salt water in the ocean, come over the land and be unsalted when it hits the earth? Go figure. It's God's filtration system. It's just great to see the hand of the Lord. He established the clouds above, and He strengthened the fountains of the deep. When He assigned the sea to its limit. And again, God assigns the sea to its limit. Sometimes He allows it to go over its limit a little bit. It's flooding and storms and all. So that the waters would not transgress His command. When He marked out the foundations of the earth. And again, a master designer had to do all of this. It's not happenstance. It's not evolution. Fortuitous concurrences of accidental circumstances. That's bogus. Then I was beside Him as a master craftsman, wisdom. And I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him, rejoicing in His inhabited world. And my delight was in the sons of men. Scripture tells us that God created us for His good pleasure. And He created this world that we would be able to enjoy it. And you know the rest of the story, because of the fall, and that's why we're here. Wrong choice. But that's okay. God did not leave us in our sinful, fallen condition. God chose to become a man and come into this world to save us. God's wonderful plan is that God would become one of us, God with us. And He would come and He would be nailed to a cross. On our behalf, He who knew no sin became sin for us. And all of this was part of His marvelous, wonderful plan to save you and to save me. And the beginning of wisdom is to fear the Lord. The beginning of wisdom is to exercise your free will, to invite Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior. And from that day forth, He gives you a new heart and a new mind, a new way of thinking, new home. All things become new. How can you resist so great a salvation? It's just God's wonderful, mighty plan. 32 through the rest of the chapter. Pretty heavy stuff. Look at this. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children. You see, the heart of a father or grandfather. Listen to me. Listen up. For blessed are those who keep my ways. The term blessed in Hebrew means, oh, how happy. Do you really want to be happy in your life? Follow God's ways. It's that simple. Don't learn the hard way. Hear instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. So what do? Anything you buy comes with a set of instructions, right? And us guys, of course, a guy thing, we don't read instructions. We're so smart. And how do we get in trouble, guys? Christmas morning or whatever, putting all this stuff together. We don't read the instructions. And we don't like to read maps. That's a guy thing, and we always get in trouble. We have to eat crow, and we have to admit to our wives that, yes, she was right, you know. But it's just a human thing. We don't like to read the instructions. These are the instructions. We don't like to read the map. This is the road map. Jesus says, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. What's wrong with us? We need to read the instructions. We need to follow the roadmap. It's very simple. You want to be happy? Oh, how happy is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates. And it was at the gates in the time of Solomon where the men of wisdom, the godly men, would meet and they would give counsel to the people whenever they needed from the Word of God. Notice, for whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Do you want a good, happy, wholesome life? Obtain wisdom, folks. It's there, right here before us. But there's always a warning, isn't there? Look at the last verse. Heavy stuff. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. Wow, that's heavy. T and I, again, we talk a lot about scriptural things, and that I got that in red in my Bible. To me, that's one of the heaviest verses in all of the whole book. One of, not the, but one. Don't you think that's a heavy verse? All those who hate me love death, that hate the wisdom of God, that hate God's plan, that hate God's Son. They hate God's Son and they love death. That's a heavy one. But you know what? Again, God cries out with His wisdom. He's crying out right now. You know, for maybe someone in this room that hasn't given their life to Christ. Maybe somebody backslidden. God's crying out, turn back to me, come to me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And even those friends and relatives and loved ones that you think will never know God and they're far from God, He's calling out to them too. But don't worry about them until you get your own life straight. Where are you tonight? Do you know God? Have you given your life to Christ? Maybe you're here tonight and saying, you know what, I really don't. I've never given my life personally to Jesus Christ. If you would like to do that, we would like to give you that opportunity. I know it's a Wednesday night Bible study, but I don't know where every one of you is in your heart before God. And all I do is deliver the mail, and it's the Holy Spirit that does the work. And if God is crying out to your heart tonight and you would like to give your life to Christ, I'd like you just to stand quickly. Today is the day of salvation. Today you can have all of these wonderful blessings that God talks about in His Word. Anyone, as we close, today is the day of salvation. The angels are waiting in heaven to rejoice when one person gives their life to Christ. Are you sure? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you that you do give us wisdom, that you love us so. I pray that we would impart this wisdom as well to our kids, our grandkids. And not only will we try to just impart it to them by reading the Word and by giving the Word to them. But Lord, may they look at our lives and see that we walk wisely before you. And so thank you for Solomon and thank you for his admonition. Thank you, Lord, that your Word challenges us and confronts us and convicts us. But I thank you for that, Lord, because there are times when we need it and you love us so that you would send us the truth. So I pray for my brothers and sisters tonight, that every one of us would so desire wisdom and knowledge and insight that it would incredibly change our lives. That we would just gain, not for our own heads to be puffed up, our hearts to be puffed up, because pride is a sin as well. But Lord, we would seek your wisdom and knowledge and insight that we would live blessed lives before you. So thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Went over a little bit tonight. I apologize, but
I'll do one quick verse.
Thank you.